Welcome to episode 593 of Fly Away. Over the past few years, we've been reminded time and again how much the world relies on travel. From supporting local economies to learning about new cultures, the experience that travel provides helps to make our world smaller and bring us closer together. Here at Outlander Travel, we've been proud to be a small part of bringing that to you through our weekly podcast. My name is Elizabeth, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Lindsay, Donna, and Anna. Located on Lantau Island, Hong Kong Disneyland is the smallest Disney park in the world. Spanning between 68 and 100 acres, some might say it's smaller than the 100-acre woods. But what this park lacks in size, it makes up for in charm. Known for its blend of traditional Disney magic with unique localized experiences, this park may be small in size, but is big on fun. Recently, Outlander travel agents Lindsay and Donna had the pleasure of experiencing the magic firsthand and are here to share a little about their experience. So let's get started. I am very excited because I got to go to Hong Kong Disneyland. It was what I did right before I opened Outlander Travel. So it has changed a lot. And there were two key attractions that were not open yet, but had teasers up. And I was very sad that I didn't get to do them. So I can't wait to hear what it was like this year, 14 years later. So first of all, you guys went together. Is that correct, Donna
yes.
and Lindsay?
Yes.
Okay. So where did you stay?
So we did not stay at one of the park resorts, but we did, when we first got on property, go visit the Disneyland, Hong Kong Disneyland Hotel, and walked over there and had breakfast at Walt's Cafe, which was very, very nice. And I kind of like that whole area. The layout of this resort, you can walk from the three hotels to the park. Donna, pop quiz, do you remember what the three hotels are? The Hong Kong Disneyland Hotel.
One was the Explorer.
Disney Explorer's Lodge and the Disney's Hollywood Hotel. Yes. And then there's also
the one we went to, the Disneyland looked a lot like the Grand Floridian.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. It kind of reminded me of like the Grand Floridian and the Yacht Club had a baby. That's what this resort really felt like to me.
Yeah, that's where we stayed 14 years ago. So yeah.
And
it's the closest
the closest one. And Walt's Cafe was very nice. We had a nice breakfast there. And then we had early park entry. And we did get the Premier Pass as well with our tickets for Hong Kong Disneyland, very similar to what you have to do at Shanghai as well. I think overall, I would say this is a much more laid back park. Definitely wasn't as hectic or chaotic as, you know, you go and you have one day and you plan this and you're like, I only have one day and I have to do this. And so I would say if you're not going on a weekend, if you're going during the week and you're not going on a holiday, it does have more of a laid-back feel to it. Just still expect lines. We were very fortunate and didn't have to wait for anything, which unfortunately makes the Premier Pass purchase seem unnecessary. However, I will argue having
we were prepared.
Yeah, we were prepared, and that's the risk you take. It's like buying insurance. If I don't have it, I'm going to need it. If I have it, I might not need
it. Did you still use the special access lines?
I just did.
Yeah.
And I used it for the show, which I think makes it all worth it. We'll get into that later. At the end of the night, I didn't even use the area to go watch the fireworks. So I do think it's worth it. I would buy it again, especially if you're only going to stay there for one day. Like, we only had one day in the park, so I wouldn't want to take the chance.
So did you open and close the park, basically? Were you there early in the morning?
I did.
She did.
You did. Okay.
I bailed about 7 o'clock.
Okay. So were you guys staying in downtown Hong Kong, or were you in the mid-levels? Where were you guys staying?
The Central District.
Okay. So you took the train in there then, which is the,
nope.
Is it still? No. Okay. You took a taxi? What'd you do?
Yep.
Okay.
Took a taxi.
Okay. You missed out because the train is really cute.
Yeah, the train is cute, but we took a taxi back at the end of the night.
Okay.
Which is
Which and so nice. How long does that take? So, because I think people hear, oh, it's on Lantau Island, and that's a different island than, so how long does it really take to get there?
I want to say it was like, was it like 45 minutes, Donna? 30, 40?
Yeah.
It was...
That sounds about right.
And was that, did you have traffic? Because that can be an issue with Hong Kong. Like, were you sitting still for a lot of that, or were you?
No, but I left really late, so. Okay. Donna left earlier.
When you said you didn't use the fireworks spot, I'm like, that doesn't sound like Lindsay pooping out early, but we'll get to that then. I'm sure
we'll get to that.
Okay, perfect. So so you would say that it is fairly easy to get in and out on the same day?
Yeah, I would say it's fairly easy. All the transportation looked really, really efficient. Went right by where the train leaves
it's
you
near
off.
The airport. So if you're just flying in for, and that's all you want to do, you don't want to do anything actually in Hong Kong. I mean, it's probably a 15 to maybe 20 minute drive from the airport to get to the parks. So you could very easily fly in, you know, go into the park that afternoon, spend the night at one of the Hong Kong Disneyland hotels, and then fly out the next day.
Yeah. And there was a luggage storage place, kind of in that center hub area.
So if you were getting off of a cruise ship, you could go right there. And interesting. That's a good point. And actually, in planning a trip to Hong Kong, you can think of maybe you should see more than just Hong Kong Disneyland. Obviously, if you're stretched for time and that's why you're going, then great. But I would go into the city and enjoy Hong Kong and then go out to Disneyland and stay one or two nights, depending on how long you want to spend out there, and then fly out because then you're right by the airport. So it's the same strategy I have for Disneyland Paris, is because Disneyland Paris is much closer to the airport. So it's much easier to get to the airport. You're not dealing with Paris traffic if you leave from there.
Yeah. One big difference I would add, though, this was my last gate I needed. This was the last Disney park that I needed to get in. I've been to all of them. In comparing this with someplace like Disneyland Paris, you can do this park in one day. I would not say that you can't do this. This is one where I could see you coming in on a cruise day or doing something in one day here. But I wouldn't see that with any of the other parks for sure. We were there during the 20th celebration, which was very nice. And there was also Halloween stuff going on. So we had the Halloween time decorations throughout the park. And the characters.
So were they traditional Western Halloween decorations, or did they bring in some Eastern culture? Because Halloween isn't really an Asian holiday.
No, but they had some type of little trick-or-treating thing going on throughout the park where you purchased a pass, I think, and then you got to go get candy.
Oh, interesting.
Am I misremembering that, Donna? Do you remember?
I don't remember about the pass, but yeah, you could definitely go trick-or-treating.
I think there was I think you bought a bag and then you got to get candy at these lines all over the park that opened up.
And it wasn't just going for the candy. It was you pull up to the character or whatever, and they do selfies with you and take pictures and talk to you. And so it wasn't just walking through grabbing candy. Yeah. It was a whole experience.
So characters are giving
characters are giving out the candy.
They were taking their time with each individual child and family.
I love that.
Yeah. So the lines tended to go
each individual adult as well.
Yes, and so it tended to go kind of slow.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're not leaving with a whole lot of candy. Like the Halloween party here, you get
No, we're
have a bag full.
The whole focus is how much candy.
I know. Well.
Yeah, there it was more about, meeting all the people and meeting the characters and meeting the cast members and getting pictures.
And you could just... The joy of the cast members here was infectious. It just reminds me so much of going to Disney World years ago. I sound like one of those old people. Back in our day.
Back in my day.
but you remember that old nostalgic feeling of going to one of the Disney parks where everybody just is so happy to be there, and that joy is contagious, that I really felt that a lot in this park. And I could be just biased because I was so euphoric as, you know, being here and like, this is the last this is the last one. But I also want to say it's because of the attitude of the cast members, and everybody really seemed to be involved and active in trying to make that guest interaction extra special. So that was very nice, very charming park. And the castle is beautiful. It's smaller, but it's beautiful, and it pays homage to 13 princesses. So
how does it do that? Talk a little bit more about that.
So I think they had the princess cafeteria.
These mosaics.
Yeah, and mosaics inside. And
So there is a restaurant in it. That
yeah, there's like a, is it next to it or is it underneath it? Donna, I'm sorry.
It's on the back side.
It's on the, there's like a cafeteria restaurant with
yes,
statues.
It's not a
of
fine dining like the Cinderella's royal table.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. So, so there's 8 theme lands.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are familiar to the U.S. Disney park goer, but some are not. So you want to take us through those?
So we've got the Grizzly Gulch area, the World of Frozen, Mystic Manor, and I should pull.
I'll read them off. So there's Adventureland. Which yep. we all know and love.
We all
and Fantasy know. Fantasyland, which we all know. And you mentioned Grizzly Gulch. Is that like the part in California?
Yeah, it would be closest to like of... where you'd find Big Thunder Mountain Railroad, but it's not Big Thunder Mountain Railroad.
Like
it's,
Frontierland.
It's like Frontierland. And that's where you find the Big Grizzly Mountain Runaway Mine Cars.
So a version of Big Thunder Mountain.
Yeah, I would say it's better. It's the best one. It's really,
that was
really
one that was not open yet, but was coming when we were there. I was like, oh, well, just wait till you hear the other one that wasn't open yet. So yeah. Main Street USA, which
and,
is what we
yeah,
all know.
And that's more like turn of the century Main Street. So like think wooden and not stone. So like wooden facades. And then Mystic Point, which is where Mystic Manor is, which is
their
version
of... Which is the equivalent of the Haunted Mansion, right?
Think if the Haunted Mansion was more for kids.
Oh, okay.
It's got a cheeky little monkey and a great backstory. And it's just... But it's very, very kid-friendly. Not as spooky. And the special effects are phenomenal. But it's such a cute ride. It really is.
Yeah.
So that's the other one that was coming mm-hmm. soon. And I think it was actually going to open like 2 weeks after we were there. And I was so upset.
And so there's did you get to do the Iron Man experience?
No, that's way past when, I don't think Iron Man had even come out yet. The movie.
Yeah. So that was one of the other ones that's only there. And then also they have a wandering, in the Frozen theme for Frozen Ever After, which is their version of Frozen Ever After. And then they have Wandering Oaken's Sliding Sleighs, which is a cute little coaster ride.
Oh, it's a coaster. Okay, so it's not like a water, like a log flume or anything.
Yeah, I would kind of compare it a little bit to Seven Dwarves, but much shorter.
Okay.
Barnstormer
then,
shorter or
yeah, we're talking Barnstormer shorter.
Okay. Really?
Like the ride starts and then it's over and you're like, wait, it's very cute though.
I didn't have my seatbelt on yet.
I didn't even get
that's okay because it's over.
Yeah. They also have Hyperspace Mountain, which I was so excited about, but it is not the best the best Hyperspace Mountain is Paris.
Yeah,
it was kind of
other, but it was. I mean, it had the Star Wars theming in it. It was good. It just wasn't Paris good.
Iron Man experience is that in Mystic Point or is that in Tomorrowland?
No, that's in like the Tomorrowland, which happens to be not too far from Mystic Point. But the other one, before I forget and don't mention it, Jungle River Cruise is one of the most unique jungle cruises in the world. I think it's the best one. But
all right, noted.
So there's some special effects in there that I don't want to ruin for anybody who hasn't done it. But
there's fire.
So is it also cheesy jokes or is it all in Chinese? Yeah. So you don't know.
Okay. Yeah, it was. Well, so it wasn't in English, but you still got the jokes. I mean,
okay.
Well, actually, they did have. So because this is Hong Kong and they're kind of dual lingo, dual lingual, they had. If you could take the. They actually had two lines. They had an English line and they had a Chinese line.
Oh, cool.
So when you went on the ride, you could have the English translation or you could be on the Chinese one.
Okay. Okay.
And so that was something that.
We need to get to Iron Man because I am a huge Iron Man fan. So what is that? What is the Iron Man experience? Tell us about it.
So it's just, it's a walk. A walk in, walk through.
Oh, okay.
So you get to.
Is it like costumes and stuff, or is there a story? Like, what's the.
You get to see all the suits, all of the. And then there's something else I'm forgetting that's over there.
Well, you have a bullet point here for Mickey and the Wondrous Book. You want to tell us
about that? Oh, yes. Yeah. So that's the show, the same show, well, a version of the show that is in Shanghai. And that also did have subtitles up in the corner on a screen for some of the songs that were in Mandarin. And then some of the songs were in English from the movies. And it featured different princesses than the one in Shanghai. But I think the one in Shanghai, I think it's kind of like one of those things where sometimes the talent's better in California than it is in Florida. Not that it was bad, but I think the quality of the singing was just a little bit more Broadway level out in Shanghai versus Hong Kong. But it was very good. They're very cute. It's a cute show.
And it was a different show than in Shanghai?
It's the same show, but the different... there's a part in the show where they feature four princesses and the princesses were different between this one and Shanghai. And I don't know. Some Disney geek can get in here and correct me in the comments and say, well, on this day they do this one and on this day they do this one, which is very well maybe that I just happened to be at the one in Shanghai when they use these four princesses and then the other one when they use the other, maybe they rotate.
It could be like a casting thing, like, you know, you don't get guaranteed at a princess breakfast, you aren't necessarily guaranteed the same princesses one day to the next.
Whoever showed up for work that day.
Whoever showed up for work, whoever didn't have, you know, things to attend to in the kingdom, so. So one of the things that I found, I'm going to say, a little frustrating about Hong Kong Disneyland was I couldn't use chopsticks, and it made any sort of snack food. Now, I've learned, because this was the thing that prompted me to learn to use chopsticks, but there were plenty of snack options when I was very hungry that the only silverware was chopsticks. And so I basically would have to stick my face in a bowl of rice in order to eat it. Did you find that to be true, or
I can use chopsticks.
Yeah,
so I didn't.
I'd be screwed.
Yeah, I can now, but
oh, I cannot.
Then. Yeah,
no. If it's something I can stab them with, then that's great. But rice, yeah, my face would be in the bowl.
Yeah,
I can't.
So, how was the food?
The food was okay. It was theme park. We're also thinking about this in an area of the world where you can get some pretty amazing food outside of the parks. So I will say that the one theme that I had going for me in regards with food for all three of these parks was I was just like, it's cute. It's very kitschy. This is also the park where you can go to the Crystal Lotus and get the dim sum meal, which we were going to do. And then I guess hemmed and hawed, or I couldn't get my credit card to work or something. There's something that happened and we couldn't get registered for it. So we did Walt's breakfast instead. But this is also where you go get the cute Disney character dim sums, but
I actually did that when I was there, yeah. And that was the best food we had at the, yeah, at the park. Yeah.
Yeah, well, sure. we had dinner at the Mystic Manor restaurant, mm-hmm, and it's themed, the different dining
rooms. Explorers.
Yeah.
Explorer restaurant.
And yeah. And so they had different dishes. So like they had Moroccan and Russian and some of the more exotic cuisines.
That was pretty good.
It was a buffet for the appetizers and the desserts, and there was a salad bar, but your main entree came from the kitchen, and you picked it.
Okay, nice. And so when you say it had different rooms and different ethnicities for food, were you able to order from any of them, or is it kind of like Cosmic Rays where you had to go to different? Okay, so
yeah, it was like a buffet. You could just kind of go get what you wanted and. But like, I'd say like a nicer buffet.
Okay.
Yeah. I had Moroccan. I think you had Indian.
I did have Indian. And then we ate all of the desserts. So that was
great. Yes. It's like, we'll take one of these and one of these.
And that's why Donna had to leave at 7. She's like, and I'm done. Yes. Okay. So tell us the story about the nighttime show where you didn't take advantage of your...
So I was making my way to the front of the park because also when you get to the end of the night in these parks, I would say about an hour before closing, things are closing. Things are shutting down. And I was trying to get some, it was Chippendale or something. I was trying to get something for a friend of mine. And I was like, okay, well, I'll, by the time I get back over here, Maybe I won't stay for the fireworks. Maybe I'm tired. Maybe I'll just go home. So I start walking toward the front of the park, and then the fireworks start. And I turned around, and I was just in the perfect spot because I was in the center of Main Street, the center, right by the castle at the end of Main Street, so I could see the projections behind me and the drones in the sky. And I have never seen anything like it in my life. We're talking like water jets and drones and lights. And I think there's like 8 different technical features to this sky show. Wow. Definitely the best fireworks, I guess if you call them fireworks, that I've seen at any Disney park. And it, you know, completely unexpected. I'm so glad that it started before gotten out of the park. I would have really been so mad if I'd already been in the parking lot. And they had the drone spelling out like 20 for the 20th anniversary. It was just really cool. I've never seen a drone show like that before, and had Mickey doing magic and Tinkerbell. Cool. And just really neat.
So that does sound like the perfect spot, and not something that would ever happen at the U.S. parks if you weren't there like 3 hours before. So if you had used the reserved spot that your pass would have given you, do you think that would have been even better? Or
I do, because I would have been like right down where the... So I will still stand by this. The premier pass, that is the way to go. You have your seating, you've got your pass to get on the thing, and if you're lucky and you happen to be there on a day when there is no line or no crowds or not as long of lines, then that's just a blessing. But I couldn't imagine going. My biggest fear with all three of these parks, because this is such, we were fitting these in such a tight schedule, and the overwhelming fear of not getting to see something. But you know, adjust at your own risk factor. If you're mm-hmm. cool. Just whatever I get done. You might not need the premiere, but I knew there was no way I wasn't going to be happy if I hadn't see a show. Yeah.
Well, and even the one day thing, we overnighted. So we only spent one night there, but we went over in the afternoon, and then we were there all day the next day. I liked that just because then I didn't, like, I knew that I could experience everything. Like,
yeah.
I knew that I wasn't going to be.
Yeah. And it just takes that stress away, and that, and then you can just enjoy yourself. And it's just kind of more of a carefree day. This was a very small park, but I think it flowed really nicely. Even though it was small, there's definitely, I could have spent more time there. I could have spent another day there. I think if you're a Disney fan, a Disney lover, you could do the rides one day, shows the next, or kind of split it up and see, because there are a bunch more shows. I think there was like 5 shows and I only saw one.
Okay. So you didn't get to do everything.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you could say I rode all the rides I wanted to ride. The Toy Story Land is kind of like a walk through Toy Story Land, kind of like what is in Paris, where it's just like the army parachute thing and like the one RC.
Mm-hmm.
Or the swinging. Yeah. And then, and that's pretty much it. Yeah. No Slinky Dog coaster.
Those were the big new attractions when I was there. Yeah. So everybody was very excited about them. And I was like, so we're missing Mystic Manor? Really? Dang. Was not happy.
I think my favorite ride in the whole park was the Grizzly Gulch, though. That one, and I love the Jungle Cruise because I love Jungle Cruise so much. But
and how long were your wait times? I know you had the pass, but what would you estimate people were waiting?
Not bad at all. I mean, maybe 20 minutes at the most. What was our longest wait time, Donna? Do you remember?
Maybe 30.
And you 30 went minutes. In October. Correct.
Yes. But we also went after Golden Week.
Yeah. So everybody had gone back to work.
Yes. Oh, okay. It was like the week or so after Golden Week. And okay. So everybody had to go back. They'd already been off for the last week before, so they had to go back to work.
And you went on a weekday?
We did. Yep.
Very nice. And so, Donna, did you just poop out or were you like?
Yeah, I was exhausted. Yeah. I'm like, you know what? I'm done.
Because this was the end of a pretty long trip for you guys, right?
Yeah. This was 3 weeks. A very long trip. Oh, I mean, for me, it was kind of like toward the, I guess, the middle, but it had already been a long, trip.
Yes. So, Lindsay, now that you've been to all of the parks, which one's the best?
I feel bad saying this on the Hong Kong Disneyland podcast because I really do love this park. It's very sweet and charming, but Tokyo Sea, hands down, all day long.
I think that's a general consensus. I don't know that anybody who's been there will disagree with you.
I feel so bad because it's not even really a whole wholly Disney park, but. Yeah, it's Tokyo Sea for me, and then probably Tokyo Disneyland, and
all right.
Down from there.
So Japan wins.
Japan wins.
But if you want the cutest, tiniest little park.
Yes, and the castle is so beautiful. I mean, the colors on the brick, I think it is the most aesthetically pleasing of all the castles. And the cast members, I think, are the best. Of all the cast members, so I will say that.
Donna, do you have a strong opinion? Have you been to all of them now, too?
No, I have not been to Tokyo or Paris.
Okay. So, taking Tokyo out of the mix, what is your favorite?
I honestly really like Disney World. In Florida, it's much larger. There's lots to do because there's so many different parks and all that you can go to. But it was really, really interesting to see how things are done in different countries. So I really enjoyed the fact that I got to go there, and I would definitely go back again. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Disney World's my favorite.
That's fair.
I really like Epcot.
That's one of the reason I asked too on the Hong Kong episode. Mm. I think they're all worth going to.
They
and
are.
I haven't been to all of them yet. But yes. Everybody's going to have their own opinion about which one is their favorite.
It's probably going to change depending on where I'm sitting. Like when I'm sitting in a few weeks when I'm back in Disneyland, ask me again. Yeah. Or when I go back to Epcot, ask me again. It's going to be whatever part.
Love the one you're with. That's the
there you go.
And during Food and Wine, especially, it's going to be.
I was going to say when you're eating and drinking around the world, we'll ask you again, which is your favorite.
Yeah.
It's just
and
so
we'll ask
hard.
At the beginning of the night, and then at the end of the night.
It's what I would imagine picking your favorite child would be like.
Yeah,
who's it depends on the day.
Yeah,
depends on who's ticked me off today.
Exactly. All right. Well, that is our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of OutlanderTravel.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We'd love to hear from you. On behalf of Donna, Sandy, Lindsay, and Anna, and myself, Elizabeth, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.